Father, I thank you, Lord, and we thank you together, Lord, as one body, Lord, one loaf you've made us, Lord, one body. And Father, we thank you for, as we've sung, Lord, for an open heaven, Lord, a heaven that's been opened through the blood of your Son, Jesus, through his flesh, Lord, that dear heaven has been opened for us. And you've put that heaven within us by your Spirit. We thank you this morning, Lord. What a privilege we have to just gather together as your saints and worship you. Lord, to publicly lift our hands and publicly proclaim with our tongues that, Lord, we love you and that we are eternally in debt to you. Lord, a debt we can never repay. But nonetheless, Lord, it's an eternal debt and we worship you and we thank you. Lord, we praise you for the opportunity that we have to gather in this place, in this country, without threat of having to hide. Lord, without threat of being arrested. Lord, we have freedom today and we thank you for it, Lord. And Father, just, Lord, my prayer this morning is that, Lord, that your Spirit would continue just to come and move amongst us and just come and overshadow each of us, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would speak life into our hearts, that you would speak truth into our hearts, Lord, and just, Father, just give you the right to do that, Lord. We are here for you, and we just ask that your Spirit, Lord, would really just have the preeminence and permeate our minds and our hearts and our thoughts, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Lord, soften my heart, Lord. Soften every heart in this room so that it would be a heart, Lord, that you can write upon. Lord, that you give us ears to hear, a tender ear, Lord, that we would hear the words that you are saying to us, Father. And all other things that are not of you, Lord, may we have a deaf ear to it, Lord. But let us hear what your Spirit is saying to us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you again for gathering us, Lord. We have so many different backgrounds, in a sense, things that have happened to us in the past week, Lord, of things that have been just wonderful and things that have been a challenge, Lord, things that haven't been so wonderful in our estimation, Lord. Father, we just leave all of our burdens with you, Lord, for you care for us, Lord, whether it's physical healing, Lord, whether it's whatever need we have, Lord, we look to you, Lord, and know that you said you would supply all of our need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So we trust you for these things. Just bow our hearts and our knees to you then in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, what's on my heart this morning, I'm really itching to get back into Ephesians, but not today. What's on my heart, last week I was reading a devotional by a guy named J. Sidlow Baxter. I don't know how many people have heard of him. He's a good Bible teacher of the 20th century. Anyway, I was reading this devotional, and it talked about how do we hear? In other words, how are you doing hearing? And it really challenged me. So I wanted to go to Mark chapter 4. And I know it's a section of Scripture when you talk about the sower and the seed. It's the beginning of the parables. I know it's a Scripture that, you know, I've preached on probably at least twice before. I know Steve, I'm sure, has preached on it. I know Bernard's preached on it. I think anyone who's preached for any period of time has preached on it. So it should be a section of Scripture that we're familiar with, at least most of us are. If you need a Bible, there should be one under the table back there as we're going to go through Mark 4 and just see where the Lord takes us with this, where my mind goes, which is a scary thing. But Jesus said about this parable, if we read the account in Matthew 13 and you read the same account in Luke chapter 8 and then it's in Mark chapter 4, In Matthew, it brings out that he really had a long and an exhausting day. There had been miracles. A man with a withered hand was healed in the synagogue. He was attacked by the Pharisees. Another man who was blind and mute, he was possessed of a devil. He healed him. Again, challenged by the Pharisees. A busy day. And then the crowds, multitudes followed him. And so he puts himself in a little boat and pushes out from the shoreline because there was such a multitude pressing him upon him. I think they'd have pushed him into the water anyway. So it was better to be in a boat. And he says this about the parable, and we'll read it, what he says. But he says, if you do not understand this parable, which was the first of all his parables, and there's seven of them. Again, if we went to Matthew, we'd find that he spoke seven parables back to back. And many more after that. But he said, if you do not understand this parable, how will you understand any of the parables that I'm going to speak to you? So it is. There's a lesson in this parable that is the key, the gateway, the doorway to understand everything else, really not just of the other parables, but everything that Jesus said. So we're going to read this. I'll tell you in the beginning that the emphasis of this parable is the Word of God. That is the emphasis of the parable. It is the Word. Okay? And because of that, I'm going to ask us all to stand up, and we're going to read the Word. Okay? We're going to stand up. Joanne, you don't have to. But let's read it. I'll read it. We're not going to read it together. But I just want us to read it out of respect, because I think sometimes I'm not trying to be religious, but I'm trying to break familiarity. So, oh, he's just going to read a Bible verse. No, I'm not. I'm going to read, and you're going to follow along, and you're going to listen to what God is saying to the church. If God was here, if someone of great authority walked in the room, we would stand up. So we're going to read the Word together, and we're going to read chapter 4 of Mark. We'll read 25 verses, and then you can sit down, and that'll give you a break anyway. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1 of Mark. And Jesus began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he did sow, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some of the seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other seed fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, how many of us would understand what he was talking about if we weren't familiar with the scriptures, if we didn't read on? How many of us would really know what he's talking about? So don't think the disciples were necessarily that dumb. I think I'm not far from there. Verse 10, and then when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sin should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all the parables? Then he goes on and explains it. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside that hear where the word is sown. And when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time, and afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended or they stumble. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed. He's still talking about the word. Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on the candlestick or the lampstand? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed. And this is my challenge for myself and for you. Take heed what you hear. Another place it says, take heed how you hear. That's more literal. Take heed how you are hearing. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and to him who has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Okay, you can sit down. You appreciated the reading of the scriptures. Again, this is it's a long parable. Like I said, it's 25 verses. Then he moves into another parable. As you notice, Mark doesn't record all seven of them, but he moves into another parable in Matthew about the talents that he'd given talents. One man had this, one man had that. A little different emphasis on that. But the emphasis on this parable, first of all, as we want to talk about it, the emphasis is on the seed and the soil. Okay, not on the sower. You would think it would be the sower, but it's not the sower. The sower isn't even mentioned in Matthew or in Luke. The word is mentioned, but there's no emphasis in Matthew about it. There's no emphasis in Luke. He isn't even mentioned when he comes to the explanation. And here he just mentions this in the explanation. If you look in verse 14, it just says, the sower sows the word. And again, he's talking about, so we get this right, about hearing the word of God. Don't put so much emphasis on the sower. Okay? I'm not the guy. Steve's not the guy. Whoever the guy is, that's not where the emphasis is. Okay? So get rid of any prejudice you have against me, or any prejudice against Steve, or any, and that could be good prejudice or bad prejudice. You know, oh, wow, my husband spoke. It was really good because my husband spoke. You guys should have heard him. It was my husband. You know, not that Atlanta would ever do that. But the emphasis, what I'm getting across, the emphasis is not the sower. It is the seed. Okay? So that's the first lesson we've got to understand. The emphasis is on the seed, the word of God. Because the word of God is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to divide asunder between flesh and marrow. Let the word of God do its work. And if it comes out of a little bit of a faulty vessel, you're not focusing on the vessel. You're focusing on the word. Now, if the vessel's bringing out untruth, then you got to discern that. You got to deal with it. And as Jenny Meaton taught us, you eat the meat and spit out the bones. But there's something in there. But the emphasis here is on the word, not on the sower. Get rid of personalities. Get rid of prejudices. Get rid of all those things. And that, I believe, is the key to the first failure of the first soil that we see. Is that. That's my personal feeling. And what I want to mention about is that this seed is perfect. Okay? The seed is perfect. It has within it. Now, this is great. It's so easy to go past these things. But the seed has within it the ability, the power to perfectly reproduce itself. Somehow, and again, farmers know a lot more about this than I do, you guys that are farmers, but somehow within that seed, it falls into the ground. It's the soil affects it, moisture hits it, it breaks down the outer shell, and within that moisture somehow germinates or kicks in the little germ on the inside, and it starts to sprout upward. Within it, there is enough energy to get the seed started, isn't there? There's enough energy to get the seed started so the head starts to bend upward and it starts to drop a root down into the soil. But if the plant doesn't take over, it will die. It's got enough to get it started, okay? But if something within the soil doesn't happen, it will die at that point. Isn't that right? And let's assume that it continues to grow. it has within it the power that as it grows, eventually it will become an exact replica of that plant which it had been taken from. It becomes, if it's a kernel of corn, it doesn't come up and become a beans. You know, it at one time it was this nice stock of corn and it had a couple ears on it and whatever. And here's one little kernel off of that whole stock of corn. There's one little kernel and it drops into the ground. And if it grows and everything happens that's supposed to happen, everything that is inherent within the seed is doing everything it can do. It is perfect. The fault is not on the good seed. It grows and it becomes miraculously identical to what it came from. So what should the Word of God do in our lives? See the parable. If we don't understand this, how are we going to understand any of the parables? Okay, so that's what he's telling us. It has this inherent power to become like that which it has come from. And this is the mystery and this is the wonder of the seed. The parable is about the seed. The difficulty, the problem comes in, is that this poor seed is almost entirely dependent upon the mercy of the soil. Isn't it? What's the soil? It's your heart. Okay, don't look at the sower. Look at the seed. The seed is perfect. The seed's perfect. The problem is in the soil. Now, we can look at the three soils. They're identical. You're going to say, no, they aren't. I'm saying, yeah, they are. None of the three. There's not one better than another or one worse than another. Jesus isn't giving degrees of bad soil. He's given three examples of the same unfruitful soil because the result is the same in all three cases. What did they bring forth? Nothing. They didn't bring anything. So what does it matter if it fell on the wayside or it fell where the soil was somewhat good but thorny, or if it fell on a rocky place? What's the difference? Jesus got no, there was no return on it. So the soils, in one sense, they're all the same. There's no difference in it. There's not three degrees of badness, of bad hearing. Our hearing either produces fruit and reproduces the Word of God in our lives, or it doesn't. There's only two types of soil, good or bad. Okay? I'm not, you know, the person who sprang up for a little while and then died out, they're no better in the end. They're no better than the person who never received it. There's no fruit there. And obviously God is looking for fruit. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear fruit, John 15. So I'm thinking, what are the things that make the soil, and the soil is our heart, so let's just say, what is the thing that makes our hearts not bear fruit? Because if we don't understand these things, how will we understand any of the parables or any of the Word of God? This is kind of the banner over this in one sense is, if we don't understand this parable, if we don't respond to it, how will we ever receive anything from God? You know? And again, the emphasis, I know I'm repeating this, but the emphasis isn't on the sower, it's on the seed. There's nothing wrong with this book, with what it says. So let's look at what he says in verse 15. And these are they which by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Immediately it comes. Immediately. So again, I want to ask the question. I need your help here. Because you can add to my list. I got like seven things on my list, but I know you can add to my list. What are the things that would make my heart unfruitful? When I hear the Word of God, when you hear the Word of God, because we got to be honest. If we responded 100-fold every time we heard the Word of God, wow, wow, wow. Isn't that right? I mean, if you've been saved a week, it'd be long enough. If you're saved a month, you'd be doing, I mean, and obeyed every single thing within the Word. A year, saved a year, saved 5 years, saved 10 years, saved 40 years. Wow. Okay, so what is it that makes our hearts do something to the Word? See, there's an obstacle in our hearts. That's the commonality, the family likeness between the three soils is that there was an obstacle in each of the soils that rendered the Word of God unfruitful. So what is it in our lives that renders the Word of God unfruitful? And maybe no one wants to answer. Maybe no one dares to answer. Did somebody give me an answer? Sin. Yeah. Sin. But sin is a result of something else too, isn't it? Sin just doesn't happen. Sin happens because I'm not obedient. Sin happens because I'm not walking in the Spirit. Sin happens because something else has taken place before sin. I don't wake up in the morning and unconsciously just going to sin. It's rebellion. Okay, so that's one of the things that's wrong with the soil. There's rebellion. It can be rebellion. Rebellion against what? Well, it could be against the sower. Okay? I don't like the guy. So I don't care what he says. I'm not going to listen to what he says. You know not to listen to what he says. Listen to the Word. Okay? It could be rebellion against God. You know? I don't believe in God. I know what God demands or what these Christians are telling me. God demands that I've got to give my life to Him 100%. No, you don't. You don't have to. You don't have to do that. You can go to hell. You know, that's the other option. You're giving your life to somebody, to something. So I might as well give it 100% to the Lord. So, but because I don't want to hear that, I have a hardness against the Word. I don't want to respond to it. I don't even want to hear it because it's demanding of me that I've got to forsake myself, lose myself, give myself to Jesus. And I don't know if I like Him that much. I'm more in love with myself, or I love my misery more than that. At least I know what my misery is going to do. It's going to make me more miserable, but at least I know it's something I can deal with, I think. Jesus, I don't know what He's going to make me do, where He's going to take me. So I have a prejudice against God. I have a prejudice. I have a hardness. I have a rebellion just against the Word. I don't want to be that good of a Christian. I want to be a little bit of Christian. I want some fire insurance. I want to know salvation, but I want to know a Savior, but I don't want to know a Lord. And so you can't really have one without the other. Your depth of your salvation cannot be any deeper than the depth of the Lordship of Christ in your life and in my life. We don't get to pick and choose. So, okay, rebellion is one. What else could be an obstacle in the soil of our hearts that would make the Word of God unfruitful? Pride. Yeah, there's another big one, pride. Oh, man, that was a good sermon. You guys really needed to hear that. I remember where I preached someplace, I think it was in England, one of the fellowships in England, someone came up to me after and says, man, that was a challenge. That was so good. They really needed to hear that. And he was joking when he said that, but pride. Yeah, I'm not going to respond to that. I'm not, I don't need that or whatever it is. So pride is there. Anything? What else? Who? Unbelief. Yeah, unbelief. Again, an unbelief is the killer, isn't it? It's one of the big killers. Just, I don't believe. I just don't believe. Yeah, the great thing, or the thing to remember, is it might be hard to get our minds around, but am I willing to have God teach me? Am I willing to have God show me? Am I willing? Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know if I can believe this, but Lord, You show me what truth is. We can just humble ourselves and avail ourselves to the Spirit of God. You work in me that which is right. I don't know. You show me. And so I'm a good soil. I'm open. And what else? Any other ones? Okay. Yeah. Traditions, man-made doctrines, religious spirit, but that kind of goes back maybe to pride. I'm okay because I'm this. I go to church, so I'm okay. Trusting in other things. Someone else said something. Bitterness. Yeah. Bitterness, it's a killer. And bitterness has a root, and it spreads throughout your whole soul. Unforgiveness is where bitterness comes from. Unforgiven spirit, it's a killer. Unforgiving spirit is Roundup, in a sense. It'll kill anything it touches. It is a killer. Unforgiveness, bitterness, it'll kill. And if it's in our hearts, listen, this is what Jesus said. We got to understand these things. If they're there, don't be deceived. That's another problem, is being deceived, thinking because I hear it and understand it, I have it. I don't know. I don't know if we do. And if there's bitterness there, unforgiveness there, don't fool yourself. There's no going further. In fact, there's only going backwards at that point. In fact, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. And if you're not forgiven, then where are we? Don't be fooling ourselves about unforgiveness. This is the Word of God. How about, and maybe someone else has something else they want to say.
Ignorance.
Okay. Ignorance can be. Once you hear it, hopefully, you know, you kind of can get your mind around it a little bit, get your heart around it a bit. Ignorance is, again, something that can be in our hearts. Like I said, prejudice against our hearts. Again, like in this first one, I think some of it has to do with these prejudice against the Word of God. I'm not going to be a Christian. I just don't want to hear. I don't want it. Immediately it's gone. Or prejudice against the sower. Immediately, I'm not going to receive it. He says, boom, it's gone. It doesn't even get a chance. You don't even contemplate it a little bit. But how about this one? Because it's by the wayside, what does that make you think of? Busyness, doesn't it? Kind of. A lot of traffic going on there. You know, I just don't have time. I'm doing business. You know, I'm busy. Or it's where the world is. I don't want to separate from the world. They'll think I'm a fool. I don't want to look ridiculous. I'll just stick close to the world. That's I'm not by the wayside. I'm there. And so that's a hindrance. And again, we could go on. I've got some other ones mentioned in here. I think we've hit most of the ones I had, but you know, just busyness. And isn't that right? How many of us intend to do something, you know, different with our lives, and at the end of the year we look back and said, I was going to spend more time, I was going to read my Bible through, and I didn't make it. You know, the first 6 weeks went pretty good, but man, I didn't make it. You know, how many of us, you know, it's the busyness of life, priorities, those are obstacles. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. There's something wrong in our hearts about it. Okay, let's look at the second one, verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony or rocky ground, who, when they have heard the word of God, immediately they receive it with gladness. Oh, that sounded good. Man, that was a good sermon. What was it about? It was about surrendering everything and giving God my business and giving Him, you know, first place in my life. Oh, man, that was good. And then you get to work on Monday and it's gone, you know. But boy, it was really good on Sunday. How's it doing on Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday? How's it doing now? Well, it's kind of, you know, it's really good on Sunday. And I plan to, you know, how many of us go home, and I'm speaking to myself as well, go home and together as a family on a Sunday, which is the Lord's Day, set aside time for the Lord, sit down and say, what did the Lord say to you about today in church? Through worship, through the hymns we sang, through the songs we sang. How about the Word? What was preached to us by the Word? What, did you get something out of it? Yeah, I did. Okay, where were you challenged in this area of our life? Well, help me to apply that to my life this week. How many of us do that? Because really, we should, shouldn't we? We shouldn't just be hearers of the Word only, should we? You know, where we hear something and then we go away and we just go do something else. It's like a man who looks in the mirror and forgets what he's like and goes away. He's a double-minded man. How many of us are guilty of that? That's part of what's in the heart. So those in the stony ground who, when they have heard the Word, they immediately they receive it with gladness and having no root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time. And afterwards, when affliction or persecution or busyness or whatever it is arises, immediately they stumble. You know, they fall off the track that they were intending to go on. They fell off the track. Now, how many of us does that hit? You know, a lot of us. It does. And again, Jesus says, if you don't apply this parable, how are you going to apply anything else that I preach to you? Any of the other parables? If you don't get this one, you don't get it, not just here, but in our hearts and in our lives. If we don't get this one, you're not going to get any of it. This is the key. Look at the next one in verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in, they choke the word and it becomes, again, unfruitful. Again, what we said earlier could apply to that for sure, couldn't it? About the busyness of life and families and just there's so much that keep us so busy. We need to take time. There's an old hymn, take time to be holy. But we need to take time to sit down and do an inventory of our lives and then do something with it. Okay? This is what Jesus is talking about, this parable. The word is being sown into our hearts. What kind of soil do we have? Honestly, what kind of soil have I been in the past month? And, you know, when we can come to meetings and church gatherings can become like going to another concert or another sports event. It becomes almost in our, we wouldn't think of it this way, but almost a form of entertainment. You know, and sometimes it's just a form of legalism. I got to go to church, so I'm going to church. Why are you going? Because it's Sunday. Sunday's not the reason to go. It's because I want to meet with my brothers and sisters. I want to lift up Jesus together with them. I want to see Jesus today in this corporately. I want to worship God today. I want to present myself publicly before Him today. I want to honor Him today. This is the Lord's day. All days are, but this day especially is the Lord's day. But, you know, how many of us really apply these things? And we need to. Again, there's other parables we could go to. Well, let's look in verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. These hear the word, just like the other three did, and they receive it, like two of them did. They bring forth fruit, like one of them, or none of the other ones brought forth any fruit, and to some to 30, 60, and 100. Turn to Luke chapter 8. He's got some extra words in here for us. It's interesting, again, reading the three parallels on it. Verse 15. So I'm in Luke 8. Keep your finger in Mark because we'll go back there. Verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. But that on the good ground, those seeds that are on the good ground, are they which in an honest and a good heart. Okay, what's an honest heart and a good heart? What is that? That means a heart that has no prejudice in it. It's a good heart. If there's no guile in there, just open, Lord, whatever you say, Lord. I just, Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And yeah, I've had some struggles, Lord, but I don't hold aught against anyone. I'm not bitter against anyone. I just want to live for you. I'm just open, Lord, to what you have to say. We just have a good heart. Isn't it nice to have a good heart? Jesus said, none are good but God. This man has a godly heart. He has a heart like God's heart. David, it said about David that he had a heart after God. Is that what our heart's like? It's just a good heart. Oh, Lord, I just want to please you. Lord, write your law in my heart. Lord, I just want to please you. I don't want to, keep track of this guy or that guy or keep track of offenses. Lord, I don't want to keep track of my own offenses, my own failures. Lord, I want to leave that all behind. Lord, just take me on with you. It's just a good heart. And it's an honest heart. It's not a heart that's deceived. It's not a heart that says, hey, I'm perfect. I hardly, I'm a 95er. I've always bore 95% fruit. It's an honest heart. It's just, Lord, you know who I am. I can't fool you. Lord, you know who I am. I just, give me that good heart. Give me that honest heart. So this person is the one who has an honest and a good heart. And having heard the word, just like everyone else did the other soils, but he heard the word, he kept it. All right? He kept it. He held on to it. He embraced it. He took it within his bosom and he kept it. That also means he guarded it. Okay? He nurtured it. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself from where I want to go, but he kept the word. See, if you asked me what Bernard spoke last Sunday, I could fiddle around. I could get close, last Sunday morning. Or if I ask you on Wednesday what the sermon was about today, I can't remember what it was. You might ask me, hey, what did you speak Sunday? I wasn't there. What was it? Let me think, Sometimes that's just a physical fault. It's not a heart fault. It's a physical fault. Our minds just don't work so good. But sometimes it's that I've never contemplated on what it was. There was nothing. I can't remember. I know it was really good. I know I was going to do something about it. But, man, I can't remember what it was, And so we got to remember those things. We have to work with them. This person, he has an honest heart. He's got a good heart. He not just heard the word, he kept it. He took it within himself and it made an abode. He made an abode for the word to dwell with him. And because of that, it brought forth much fruit with patience. That's a good word, isn't it? With patience. Because when we respond to God in whatever act it is, we expect an immediate result. Okay? I gave somebody something, I expect to get back. I mean, we wouldn't think that way, But you know, we expect something in return. Or I've really been good this week, praying and reading my Bible, fasting a couple of days. So, well, and all of a sudden, wham, something happens. Why did that happen to me? I've been reading my Bible. I've been studying the Word of God. I've been praying. And why would this happen? But this Word says patiently, patiently, patiently. And that's a good word because it's with patience. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. There's one verse that goes along with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Why? Because when you received the word of God, okay, you heard the word, they heard it. When they received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of a man or of men, but as it really is in truth. Forget about the sower. Okay? It's not the word of a man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you also, in that you believe. The word of God is an amazing thing where it comes into us and it brings faith with it. It brings hope within it. It brings power within us. When God gives us a word, He gives us the power to walk in that word. He doesn't tease us by saying, do this, and then does not give us power to act it out. If God speaks to me about blessing somebody, He gives me the ability to bless them somehow. If He gives me the word to, you know, that, you know, to go and share with someone, He opens the door for me to go in there, and He gives me a word to share with them. If He tells me that, hey, you've got to forgive this person, somehow He puts within me the grace to want to forgive this person. What He commands of us, He gives us the ability, the power to do it. If He tells us to forsake sin, He puts within us the power to forsake that sin by His Spirit. God doesn't command us to do things that He doesn't give us the power to fulfill. And this is what they said. They heard the word. They received the word. And it was not just the word of men. It was the word of God. It was truth. And it had an effectual working in us. Effectual means an energy. There's an energy working in us that brings it to bear fruit in our lives. Praise the Lord. But it is dependent upon me receiving it correctly. It is dependent upon the soil. What a sad thing that the word of God, so much of it is dependent upon the heart that hears it. Jesus goes to Jerusalem and He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have desired to gather you as a hen gathereth his chicks. But no, you would not. You wouldn't come and gather yourself unto me. Why? Because they were prejudiced against Him, because they were bitter, because they loved their sin. They loved darkness rather than light. They were prejudiced against Him. They would not receive His word. And He said, you will not see the Lord until you say in your hearts, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And sometimes that's a problem in the church, that people cannot receive what's being said because they have a prejudice against the person sowing it. And Jesus told Jerusalem, you won't say, blessed is He who's brought the word to you. You won't say that. And so you're not going to see the Lord. You're not going to get anything out of it. So what a challenge. So flip back to Mark chapter 4. Let's read 21 through 25 and finish there. And Jesus said, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or a bed? Okay? Or is it brought that way to be hidden and not to be set on a candlestick? Again, He's still talking about the word. So He says, when the word comes to you, what do you do with it? Do we take the word and we put it in a bushel? You know, and again, His thing is you hide it. You don't do anything with it. That's not what you do with it. If it's dark in the room and someone hands you a light, you don't hide it under the bed. You don't put a bushel basket over it. And what do you do with it? You exercise that light. You take it and you hold it up in the most prominent place, and the light shines and shows you what's in the room. What happens when the Word of God comes? I'm supposed to take that Word and not hide it, not forget about it, not ignore it, not get so busy that it gets trampled, not get so busy that I never apply it, not be so hardened because it means nothing to me. Why does it mean nothing? Probably because I got bitterness in my heart. Don't blame it onto the Word. The Word is perfect. You know, it's inherent to produce that from which it came out of, which is God. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it's perfect for us. So when this Word comes, it can reproduce. It's to reproduce that from which where it came, God-likeness. So don't blame the Word. There is a problem. So the Word comes. We hear it. We're to take it like a lamp and set it in the most prominent place in our life. We meditate upon it. We say, Lord, what did you say to me in this Scripture? What should I do with this? How do I apply this, Lord? Help me to do something with the Word. Reading on verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. If you bring the Word into your heart, it's going to show you everything. Nothing's going to be hidden. It's going to be manifested what you're like. Well, this is why I didn't like it, because I don't like him. This is why I didn't, because I don't like her. This is why I didn't do it, because I want to make some more money. Let me tell you a story. It happened in the 1800s where there was a young man who was in a church, and he was under the ministry, under the preaching of the Word, and he was convicted, and he said, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be a Christian like the leaders of this church, like the men I see in this church. They're really given. I want to be like them, but not just yet, because I want to get married, but I want to build a business. I'm gifted in milling, the milling process, having a mill and grinding grain. This is what my interest is. So let me first do my farming. Let me first get this milling business done. So he went into the milling business, and he was gifted for it, and he prospered, and he had one of the largest and most successful mills in the area. And when he was 40 years old, he was still waiting, and he was struck with tuberculosis. And he lay in his bed dying, and they came and they shared with him. And his dying words, his last words was, this won't be exact quote, but close to it. His dying words were, I see Jesus. He's speaking. Jesus is here. He's there. He's speaking. But I cannot hear him, for this grinding of the mill is too loud. I cannot hear what he's saying. That was his last confession. I cannot make out what he's saying to me because the noise of the mill is in my ears, grinding, grinding, grinding. Be careful where these other things take us. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. That's, you know, Jesus, can you hear what I'm saying? Can you hear it? Not me. You know, the Spirit is saying, can you hear what the Spirit is saying to us? And then verse 24 and 25, he highlights it again. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. The word, again, take heed, means to look after. It is a deposit. God is depositing to you something. Take heed to it. If someone put a little infant into your arms, I know there's some expectant folks probably in the room, and God's going to put an infant in your arms. Take heed to that infant. In other words, you just, I'd had a baby, you know, and set it on the shelf or something and think it's going to be okay. You're not going to do that. You're going to take heed to it, aren't you? This is what he says. Take heed to the deposit that I placed in you. Your ears have heard. Your heart has heard this. Take heed what you hear. Okay? Look after what God has spoken to you. Please look after what God has spoken to you. For with what measure you meet it, it shall be measured unto you. What measure, what you do with it, the importance that you place upon it, it shall either become a blessing to you or it'll become a curse to you. If you neglect it, it will become a curse. If you look after it and really take care of the Word, it's going to bless you and God's going to multiply you. And unto you that, it goes on, take hear what you hear, for with what measure you meet it, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given to you. And it doesn't mean, again, hear. You who hear and have applied it, really heard it, and known it's the voice of God, have reacted obediently to it, followed through with it. He said, to those of you who have heard this way, I'm going to give you more. And this is why Christianity becomes boring sometimes in our life, and why church becomes boring sometimes in our life is because we have not acted upon what God spoke to us a week ago, a month ago, a year ago, and He's not giving you any more. Go live in your past revelations because you're not getting any new ones. Live in the past. Relic in the past. Try to warm yourself on a fire that may have gone out 20 years ago or 10 years ago. You know, God gave Elijah 3.5 years at the brook Cherith. No, he didn't. He didn't give him that long. He gave him maybe 1.5 years at the brook Cherith. And it was a blessing to him. But he couldn't live there. It dried up. And God says, you got to move on. And brothers and sisters, we need to be moving on. We can't live in the past. We can't do that. We can't warm ourselves around those fires. God wants to give us more today. He wants to give us a freshness today. And again, if the word is dead to me and it's dull to me, it's because I haven't taken care of what He's spoken to me before. I haven't responded to me before. I've been too busy with business. I've been unforgiven. I've got prejudice. I'm not willing to commit myself to that depth yet. I'm not this, I'm this, I'm that. I'm going to go become a successful miller, you know, and grind some grain. Be careful, because pretty soon you don't hear the word of God, and all there is judgment and prejudice and things. And but if you hear right, you'll be given more. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He who's listening right, I'm going to give you more. More shall be given. But he who has not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. That's what happens. Our hearts get hard. They get layered over. It's harder for us to find something that really warms us. And, well, again, we have to keep going back to old things because nothing new is happening. And, wow, Jesus said that if you believe unto me according as the Scriptures say in John 7, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. They're living. They're not stagnant. They're living today. And even in a church situation, it's not just a personal situation. It is there, but it's also in the church situation, the court where you can sit under the word and say, man, I was blessed. God really spoke to me. It was a simple message. All he said, all the guy said was that Mary and Joseph went down to Bethlehem and they were subject to Caesar. That was the end of the sermon. But wow, that was good. I really looked into that, subject to Caesar, and I know that I have to be obedient to those over me or whatever. You know, it doesn't have to be that deep. It's being obedient to the Scriptures. James 1, just two more scriptures and then we'll quit. James 1, again, familiar scriptures for us, this verse 25. We'll read verse 23. For if, James 1, verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself or contemplates himself, and then he goes away straightway, and he forgets what manner of man he is. Again, he forgets what God's shown him, what God's told him to do. He forgets about it, didn't receive it. We got to change. I need to respond. I need to react to the Word of God. Young people, us older ones, middle-aged ones, young families, we need to respond to the Word of God. Fathers, you need to have your children there. And bring them to yourself and talk about the Word of God and ask them, are they responding to the Word of God? Pray together with them. This is what we have to do. Verse 24, for he beholds himself and he goes away, forgetting what manner he is. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, looking into the Word of God, receiving the Word of God, having ears to hear, continuing therein, responding to the Word of God, being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man, and this man only shall be blessed in all his doings. This is the man. You want to be blessed? Then respond to the word. Put into action what God's saying to you. Make sure that you have an honest and a good heart so that God can speak to you, so you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. None of us are above instruction. Never, ever, ever in our lives. This man shall be blessed in all of his deeds. And then turn with me to Revelation. Chapter 1 of Revelation. We'll end up in the last book, which should be appropriate. In verse 3, okay, I'm responding to the word blessed. Verse 3 of Revelation 1, blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecies and keep those things that are written. Blessed are you if you read them, if you hear them, if you keep them. Then you're blessed. Okay? Then you're blessed. In one of the last words in Revelation, in chapter 22, verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So this hearing is a big subject in the New Testament. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. Okay, do you hear God? Then ask Him to come. You know, whatever it is He's saying to you, come, Lord, bring salvation to my heart. Lord, bring forgiveness to my heart. Lord, bring a deeper love in my heart for this one or that one. Lord, come and bring power. Bring your Spirit into my heart that I might live the way you want me to live, that the power of sin may be broken. Lord, make me come, Lord Jesus, come Spirit and give me passion for the things of God. You know, is there passion in our lives? You know, if there isn't, go to God and ask for passion, because we need to be the most passionate people on earth. That, you know, when we read, sing those hymns about the opening one of Charles Wesley says, that, oh my God, you've died for me. We could have ended church then. Think about it. I mean, again, if my vision of God is this big, if God isn't much, He's not holy, I don't really know who He is. He's just someone that I know I'm going to meet someday. But if I get an understanding of who God is, and then I think about that, oh my God, He died for me. What more is there to say? You know, that's what the Spirit's all wrapped up in, is that of what God has done for us. You know, well, let's pray and then we'll close. Father, thank you again for this day, Lord, this morning that we've had together. Father, I ask that you would give me hearing ears to hear what you're saying to me, Lord, and beyond that, Lord, because the goal is not to hear. Lord, the goal is to respond and to bring forth fruit. Lord, we are not blessed in just hearing. Lord, in fact, we could be cursed for just hearing. Lord, if we don't put into practice that which the hearing has said to us, Lord. So give us ears to hear, Lord. Give us hearts to respond, Lord. Let us, Lord, put priorities right in our lives, Lord. Let us contemplate the Word of God that you've spoken to us, Lord, and put it into our lives. As it says in John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. May these words, Lord, become really flesh in our lives and, Lord, dwell and tabernacle within us, Lord. And then, Lord, you can even, this truth that you've spoken to us can be like a lamp that's held up to the world and they can see, oh, there's truth that lives in this man. There's truth that lives in this woman. It isn't just a doctrine. It isn't just a religion. I can see the Word of God is alive and it's effectual in their lives. We can see it in their lives, Lord. So, Father, have your way amongst us, we pray, Lord. And just, Lord, do your work in my life and in each of our lives. And I thank you again, Lord, that we can come together as the body of Christ, as one people, Lord, to rally around you, to thank you and to praise you and to give our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, Lord. This is our reasonable service. We thank you again this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, amen.